Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins.
And hey, it's good to be with you guys. Appreciate you tuning in. Hope you continue to do that. And if you're new, we hope this won't be your last time. We got a little short staff today. We got Bob Griswold.
Hello.
And Mary is down with a bug, so we'll keep her in our prayers and thoughts.
It's just a head cold, folks.
Just a head cold. I think it's an excuse. Is that
maybe that too.
I'm just picking on her. We got Diane Rufino.
Hello.
We got Melissa.
Hello, hello.
We have Rainer.
Hey.
And we have Hal.
Hey, y'all.
And that's the James gang there. let's see. What's hot in the news cycle today? Today's Wednesday because that's when we record. So let's talk about what's... Yeah, Bob.
The really hottest thing was that Bernie Sanders was going to drop out, but then he wasn't going to drop out. So that's the really hottest thing today.
I'm glad you let me know that because I missed it somehow.
Oh, that
it was only a short period of time that right. He was. Everybody said he was going to drop out.
Yeah, somebody, he made some sort of statement. That it was on One America News.
Somebody got to him, didn't they?
Yep. Probably.
You know, I'm sorry Mary's not here because I wanted to ask her about something that was on Right Wing Granny today. It's really great. And I'll read it. It says, for much of the last 3 years, key law enforcement leaders have insisted they did nothing wrong in pursuing counterintelligence surveillance warrants targeting the Trump campaign starting during the 2016 election. And they've added, if mistakes were made, they were unintentional process errors downstream from them and not an effort to see the judges. But in a little noted passage in a recent order, U.S. District Judge James A. Boisberg, the new chief staff, a judge of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, took direct aim at the excuses and blame-shifting of those senior Obama administration, FBI, and DOJ officials. In just 21 words, Boisberg provided the first judicial declaration the FBI had misled the court, not just committed process errors. There is little doubt that the government breached its duty of candor to the court with respect to these applications, he wrote.
Wow.
I
thought that was really significant.
And there's going to be more to that story coming out shortly if y'all keep watching the news because there's going to be some prosecutions over that.
I certainly hope so. Because the only way to keep things like that from happening over and over and over again is to make the consequences of not just the peons but the higher-ups be very noticeable.
Right.
I believe that the FISA renewal passed the House just earlier today, today being Wednesday, passed the House earlier today, and I think they've strengthened some of the penalties. I don't know any of the details in it, but
did it make it harder to get a FISA warrant?
They probably won't make it harder to get other than the, apparently there's a new provision in there that says the Attorney General must sign off on any FISA warrant against a federal a candidate or a...
I thought that was the way it was anyway.
So did we. Yeah.
Okay, folks. There you go. That's some of the hot stuff, and that should pique your interest because where are your representatives that are supposed to be representing you, you know? How could something as corrupt as the FISA process, which we probably shouldn't have in the first place in its current state because it shouldn't be used against American citizens. It's for foreign intelligence.
Apparently it's easily corruptible, right?
Wait, what's FISA?
Well, we were promised it never would be.
What does FISA stand for?
Yeah, foreign intelligence surveillance.
Yeah. So, anyway, folks, we got to do a better job of getting people elected that will stand up for us and our rights, and we got to start doing that now. Because we're in bad shape. We're in bad shape. We've really got some corrupt people. When you can't get Congress to pass the laws that need to be passed. They can't uphold the ones that need to be upheld, but they're always trying to pass something else that we don't need. You know, they're busy doing something up there with our money,
and they're also hurrying up on this on whatever this legislation is, because they're going on a recess.
Right. Yeah. Right. All right, well, is it time for them to vote themselves another raise yet? How long's it been? I can't remember.
It's got to be hours.
At least.
All right. Well, let's move on to the really hot topic that I wanted
to. I do want to say real quick, we do have, speaking of representatives, Mark Meadows got assigned a new job this week, did he not?
He did. He did. Yes.
Representing North Carolina.
He's the president's chief of staff. Well, and one of the world's good guys, that Freedom Caucus.
Yeah,
he has spearheaded lots of good work there.
He's done really great work with them.
To continue to do good work.
Yes, yes, he is the president's new chief of staff selection, and I can't think of a better one.
This might be a good time to segue into the next CCTA meeting, monthly meeting.
No, it's not.
No.
Well,
if you talk about the government, when it refuses to work, when it won't work for the American people, when it's stymied and it won't pass common sense legislation, there's another process that, and that's the Article 5 convention process, right, where the states can propose amendments and blah, blah, blah. I'm not advocating for that because I personally don't believe in it, but that's what the topic is the next meeting, right?
Yes.
It's one of the two topics. We're planning to have two debates, right? Okay. That one and term limits.
And that was to be talked about on this show.
Later.
But now that you've blown it all up, I'll go ahead and...
I've wet everybody's whistle.
Yeah, go ahead, Hal.
About this.
All right, but the way I had a plan to approach it is that I've got plans for our public meetings now for the whole first half of the year. In March, as we were just talking about, there'd be the debates. And in April, I'm hoping to get a representative of Hillsdale College and maybe the young lady that won our scholarship, Hillary. Maybe she'll come too. In May, we're going to do our Back the Blue. That's a great thing. And in June, I want to honor our D-Day veterans, and especially Frank DeVita. Frank DeVita's daughter lives down in Havelock. It's Elizabeth McDowell with McDowell Floor Covering. And she put me in touch with him, and I called him on the phone to actually talk to the gentleman. He's 98 years old. He's just as conversant on the telephone as, you know, anybody 82 like I am. And I just really thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think we can build a really great program around, you know, June the 6th is D-Day. So we can build a really great program around
that. Well, most people aren't going to know who Frank DeVita is unless you tell them he's a World War II hero vet.
Right.
And that's what he'll be talking
about.
He did
participate in the Normandy invasion.
And that, he really participated in it.
He has a great story to tell, and we're looking forward to that.
And it illustrates yet again that freedom is never free.
Right. All right. Well, we need to stop and take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Hal, you were going to tell us about this month's meeting, about the debate we're going to have. You want to go ahead and continue with that?
Sure. Well, we've chosen two topics because right now they're of great interest to people. I don't think it's a conservative or liberal issue or a Republican or Democrat issue. It's just, you know, people on both sides of those fences could have different opinions or the same opinions. So those are... The debates are going to be on whether or not to have an Article 5 convention of states, and the other one is whether or not to impose term limits. So there's two different debates. And I'm planning to have use what's called the Oxford-style debate format, and that means that the moderator makes a statement. That'd be me, the moderator. And then before the debate begins, the audience votes on how they feel about it. You know, are they for it or are they against that issue? And we're going to take a vote from the audience. Then we'll have the debate. And that's going to consist of three people on each team. We've had volunteers. There'll be people like Michael Speciale, who's our representative, and Keith Kidwell, who's another representative in the Craven County area, to the North Carolina House. And then we'll have Norman Sanderson. He's the senator from our area. He'll also be there. We've got Dana Outlaw, the mayor of New Bern. He'll be one of the participants. And Steve Tyson, who has been on the Board of Commissioners in Craven County, and now he's the nominee of the Republican Party for the North Carolina House.
District 3.
District 3, right. All right. So those are, you know, the really good people that agreed to participate with us, and I think that's going to be great.
It's going to be an interesting meeting.
And the audience does participate because they vote first, then they have the debate, and then they vote again. And the winner of the debate is the team that convinces more people to their side.
Right.
Change their vote, in other words.
I think after the debate, the last thing that the participants do is they have 2 minutes to try to get their point across.
Exactly.
and convince people that they're right. And
absolutely.
And then you take another vote.
Right.
That's going to be a good format.
So I think we'll have a lot of fun with that.
All right. Diane, are you full of comments now?
I'm commentless.
No, you got to comment on it.
Well, I think both those topics are really cool. Right. And I know I'm against the convention of states, but I actually see the need for it. I just think there needs to be more rules in place, and that may come from a constitutional amendment to set out some rules, because the Congress is actually trying to take a role in it, right? And you know, when the government wants to take control, they find a way to do it.
Well, are you going to be on? Are you going to participate?
Yeah, I think I will.
You will? Well, then hold your ammunition.
Don't get, don't. The term limits.
man.
I just wanted a comment, not a diatribe.
Okay. Hey, you turn any one of us on and you're apt to get that diatribe.
Rick, I've sent a...
But I also got a commitment, too, so...
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. I've sent information out to each one of these people about how it's going to be conducted.
Yeah.
And I've asked them to give me feedback on which side they want to be on and things like that. So some of the details still need to be worked out. But I'm sure we're going to have a really good debate there.
Right.
Will there be prizes?
Yes. Yes.
All right. See, I got a commitment right there. I got one.
I didn't tell you what it was.
For the next 6
and
years.
I don't think it's mentioned the time, the place, and exactly when this is going to take.
Oh, yeah. Right. The usual place.
The usual place is downtown New Bern at Stanley Hall Ballroom. The meeting starts at 7 o'clock, but get there early because we have refreshments and beverages and lots of friendly people to meet and greet.
And it's this coming Tuesday.
Right.
And you can get to know these people.
Right. And that's a good segue into the hot topic I wanted to talk about, Diane.
Go for it, Rick.
A lot of friendly people to meet and greet, but don't shake hands.
Oh, yeah. While, no, we could fist bump, right, or kick.
No, don't fist bump. No.
Do the toe bump.
They're doing, right now, I saw on TV, they're doing elbow bumps, but you're being taught to cough into your elbow.
Right, do the toe tap.
I'm not coughing on my clothes.
I think the most interesting picture that I saw was of a rugby team was told not to shake hands, and when you look at a rugby scrum, and they're all piled on each other. Guys, you missed the point.
So you know, folks, what? There is so much silliness going on about this. I don't think we could dream up a way to get sillier. Right.
And I heard the Vice President Mike Pence say, in my line of work, you've got to shake hands.
So, folks, if you haven't guessed it, the hot topic we're talking about now is the coronavirus. It's dominating all the news cycles. It's on all the mainstream media. And, well, there's a few facts that are being left out. If you watch some news media that's not considered to be mainstream, you'll find out that it's actually less of a problem than the flu is. More people are killed yearly by the flu than have been killed by this coronavirus. And it's targeting only the elderly people are dying from it.
Or someone with a pre-existing condition.
Right.
Yeah, immunocompromised people, yeah.
Right. If you're younger and in good health, your chances of beating it are excellent. I mean, yes, Hal.
It's really interesting to me. I haven't been to the grocery store lately. And Melissa showed us a picture this evening of the empty shelves at our local Harris Teeter store here. I just thought that was really interesting that people would be in such a panic that it's like a hurricane is expected or something like that.
Yeah.
The Daily Signal had two different things today that kind of put it in perspective. In an article that Fred Lucas did, he mentioned that Dr. Anthony, I think you pronounce it Fauci, with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, said that as of this morning, we have 712 cases and have had 27 deaths in the United States. Mm-hmm. But in their summary of what was in the Daily Signal today, it's mentioned that on this date, which is 3/11, in 1918, an Army private at Fort Riley, Kansas, reported symptoms of an illness that became known as the Spanish flu. That killed 650,000 American and approximately 50 million worldwide.
Right.
Now, that's what a real problem looks like.
That's right.
We're having fits over. I'm not saying it's not serious, but we're being silly.
Well, we need to be cognizant of the fact that there's an infectious disease out there that could cause us some health problems, but not to the extent that it's being overplayed. Now, why is the mainstream media, when they totally ignore when you heard that many people died of the flu, the Spanish flu, did that surprise you?
Yes, it did.
And if you go back and look at statistics over the last few years of how many people have died of the regular flu, swine flu,
from about 17,000 to about 50,000 every year.
Did that surprise you?
Yeah, it did.
Because it's not widely reported.
No, and I came to the conclusion that, as always, they are trying to use something else to control us.
Okay.
And I'm not being controlled.
Well, I have another theory about it, too.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they're trying to blame it on President Trump.
Well, that's where I was going, is the timing of it.
All right.
Yeah.
Right here before the election, right in the middle of all the primaries, the Democratic primaries anyway, right in the middle of everything, when the economy is booming and going so nice, bam, it's the hottest news story on mainstream media.
Well, I think there, if you go back and look, there have been cases right before an election of a serious epidemic yeah. that has broken out. So it's not unheard of for it to be used as a political tool.
No, it's not.
But compare it to the deaths from opioids or fentanyl, and I realize that's not a contagious thing, but that's a much more serious problem as far as killing people.
Of course. Well, at wrecks on the highway, are we going to stop driving our cars and stay home or walk?
A lot of them attributed to texting.
Well, taking your example there, Bob, Governor Roy Cooper didn't institute a state of emergency over the opioid crisis.
No, did not.
Or any of the flu epidemics. Or
I think one of the very interesting things is California Governor Newsom has tried to align himself with President Trump on this. Yeah. He's looking for a solution, a cure, a fix, or something like that. And all of a sudden, he's decided to pay attention to the rest of the country.
He's got the homeless problem.
Well, he's not only got that. You know. The open borders are their worst enemy in a case like this.
So he's looking to protect those that he considers his voting base, I think. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, to his voting base is probably bringing a lot of it in here.
Yeah.
If they're allowed to vote, which doesn't seem like they're going to be able to stop a lot of it.
Yeah, one thing that the way I look at it is, how do we handle it? Can it be serious? Obviously, look at what happened in Wuhan. Is that, you know, where the outbreak was, in other countries where the outbreak was. So yeah, if it could run rampant here, it could become as serious as the flu is right now. And it's how you handle it. And I just have to say, I for one am very appreciative of how Trump very preemptively shut our borders and has assembled
travel
a team,
and,
did the travel ban, and, you know, I think that really stopped the spreading of how it could have been.
Has gotten insurance companies to agree that they're not going to have any deductibles for
the testing and the treatment.
And he's pulled in the companies that manufacture the mask and the test kits and, you know, all those things mm-hmm. and said, hey, guys, we need these out here.
And he's been criticized brutally for doing the travel ban so early.
Yeah.
When that is the, if you listen to the WHO, the CDC, they all say that containment, yep. containment, right. that yep. you have to isolate where these cases are. And the first thing you want to do is shut your front door.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so you know where the problem's issuing from. Joe Biden called him a xenophobe for, you know, the travel
know what the
ban.
Word means.
Honestly. No. You know, I mean, this is from a man running for senator. Yeah. So,
for senator.
But he's, yeah. you know, he's really been just crucified in the media for right. some of his stuff.
I think yeah. most of us can see through that. I've never seen anybody handle something better.
And you also have to admire him for the way he takes all that abuse. Bob?
I was interested in, I know in one of the news briefings, about how quickly they have ramped up the number of test kits. Now, test right. kit is not the proper word, but how quickly they've ramped up and distributed the test kits, how quickly they've changed some of the FDA requirements and whatever else. This is not our normal government in action. This is a responsive government right
yes.
now
yes.
that we're not used to.
All right.
Yep. And a federal judge, I don't like them second-guessing the president and the legislature all the time, but some federal judge actually said that Trump was within his purview to go ahead and shut the borders
yep.
in this case.
The United States, on all these different criteria on handling this this virus, we've gotten a number one rating on every point. Prevention, information, blah, blah, blah. U.S. number one, U.S. number one, U.S. number one. China is number 51. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is the one. This is the country where it started from. But, you know, you can mock President Trump all you want, especially the Democrats, but this is a rating. I guess it's nonpartisan rating, but the United States has gotten a number one rating on how they are handling this.
Right. So. Well, we're going to have to take a break. But when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, there's a lot of things about this going on out there in the mainstream media and other media. But there are some other issues about it that we need to talk about, and that's the government response. We've talked a little bit about how the president has responded, but what about the rest of the government? You know, the House and the Senate and the other agencies that are considered part of the deep state, maybe. Let's talk about how they're handling things.
One quick one before you go to break. I'm just looking at Bloomberg, Bloomberg.com, I think it is. The announcement is the coronavirus conference is canceled because of the coronavirus.
Yeah. Oh, and I heard Hunter Biden couldn't go to his court hearing because of travel restrictions due to the coronavirus. All right, well, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, as I said before the break, let's talk a little bit about some other issues that affect us because of these types of situations like we're having with this proposed pandemic, possibly the coronavirus. This is an article in the Rutherford Institute, and it says, "This is a test. How will the Constitution fare during a nationwide lockdown?" And the author is John Whitehead, and I'll read a quote here. "It takes a remarkable force to keep nearly a million people quietly indoors for an entire day. Home from work and school, from neighborhood errands and out-of-town travel, it takes remarkable force to keep businesses closed and cars off the road, to keep playgrounds empty and porches unused across a densely populated place 125 square miles inside. This happened not because armed officers went door-to-door or imposed a curfew or threatened martial law. All around the region, for 13 hours, people locked up their businesses and sheltered in place out of a kind of collective will. The force that kept them there wasn't external. There was virtually no active enforcement across the city of the governor's plea that people stay indoors. Rather, the pressure was an internal one, expressed as concern or helpfulness, or in some cases fear, felt in thousands of individuals' homes. And that was journalist Emily Badger, The Psychology of a Citywide Lockdown. Now, what he goes on to talk about in his article, I'll flip the pages here, this coronavirus epidemic, which has brought China's Orwellian surveillance out of the shadows and caused Italy to declare a nationwide lockdown, threatens to bring the American police state out into the open on a scale we've not seen before. Now, you look at some of the other things that have happened over the past year. People's homes being raided at midnight or in the wee hours of the morning, surrounded by SWAT teams and armed officers and dragged out of their homes and arrested without any charges, really, you know. And I think y'all know who I'm talking about. There's a number of them.
Yeah.
If and when a nationwide lockdown finally hits, if and when we are forced to shelter in place, if and when militarized police are patrolling the streets, if and when security checkpoints have been established, if and when the media's ability to broadcast the news has been curtailed by government censors, if and when public systems of communication, phone lines, internets, text messaging, etc., have been restricted, if and when those FEMA camps the government has been surreptitiously building finally get used as a quarantine detention center for American citizens, if and when military snatch and grab teams are deployed on local, state, and federal levels as part of the activated continuity of government plans to isolate anyone suspected of being infected with COVID-19, and if and when martial law is enacted with little real outcry or resistance from the public, then we will truly understand the extent to which the government has fully succeeded in recalibrating our general distaste for anything that smacks too overly of tyranny. Now,
good Lord.
Some people will say, oh, that's all conspiracy theories and all that. Oh, is it really? I mentioned earlier, before the break, Governor Roy Cooper has declared a state of emergency in North Carolina. For what? How serious is it here in the state of North Carolina? And I heard, was it Washington State, one of those Pacific states out there, declared a state of emergency, and they had no cases. Yeah. It wasn't Washington, because Washington does
have. The last I heard, North Carolina has two, I think.
Uh-huh.
Two counties have.
That's...
Well, Seattle banned groups larger than 1,000, so no events for that. San Francisco's done the same. Talk about a sci-fi movie. March Madness for basketball will be played with no fans.
No fans, yeah.
You'll be watching them play with an empty stadium.
Yeah. So does that really sound so far-fetched when you hear about these things?
No, but it sounds horrible.
It is horrible. And it's, over a period of time, has been put, we talked about the FISA situation. That's an abuse of government power. So, Diane?
But this is a little different, I think, because the whole... What you're trying to prevent is, what you're trying to do is contain, okay?
Right.
And if people just took it upon themselves to stay away from the likelihood of catching it so that they can contain it, you want people to do it themselves, but we know people aren't very informed, they're not very responsible. So the government is kind of forcing people to stay contained for the benefit to keep the virus contained.
But we've already talked about there are not hundreds of thousands of cases.
That's because
here.
They're containing it.
You know, okay, but it is not being forced. It is people behaving in a reasonable way and keeping. It's not going to these draconian measures that's doing it.
Right.
It is unnecessary if it happens, and it's unnecessary.
But what happens in times of war, there's a policy called inter arma silent legis. Forgive my Latin, but Rehnquist would talk about this. Other Supreme Court justices, in times of war, the laws are kind of silent. You know, we saw this with Lincoln. I mean, he just thought the whole Constitution should have been silent and not even existent because he wanted a war. Hence, the Constitution just stay out of it and let him conduct his war. And I think this is something similar to that because it's an emergency. So I think what we'll see is for a time, we won't see a lot of this stuff going to the courts. Let the government do what it thinks it needs to do to contain this virus. And then afterwards, we'll review it and see if it's constitutional or not. You know, do a review.
Well, I think we ought to all go on red alert when the government starts throwing around that word that it's a crisis.
When Lincoln did all that, they acknowledged that everything he did was unconstitutional, but they would not take that up during the Civil War.
So after. Well, here's the thing. It's, you know, just we have the flu already killing thousands and thousands of people a year, and it does affect babies and young children, and you know, it is very serious. It is worldwide. It is an epidemic. It happens every single year and has been happening. So you have to protect yourself from that as well. I think if we, you know, right here, people are self quarantine themselves. People are being responsible. They're saying, "Hey, I don't, you know, I need to be responsible and not spread this." Yes, we need to do that. And hey, if we do it, maybe we'll stop some of the flu spreading. Absolutely. You know, wash your hands. Sing the alphabet. Sing happy birthday twice through. Use hot water. Yeah. Wash your hands. Use hand sanitizer in your car. Don't shake people's hands. Don't hug people. You know? No hugging. And, you know, be smart. But are there crazy people out there? Absolutely. There was a man in China who his parents both came down with coronavirus. He went to the doctor, tested positive for the coronavirus, went out to celebrate because they were sending him to quarantine the next day, told him to go home and self-quarantine until they found a place for him. And he went out to three different bars, something like that, a couple of different bars, and was telling the patrons there that he had just tested positive. Now, he did get arrested and was charged with that, but he was out in public, crowded, you know, city bars. So, yes, there are crazy people out there, so protect yourself.
Yeah. Common sense.
I want to say right here, we're going ahead with our CCTA meeting this Tuesday.
Just no hugging, right?
The reason I wanted to read this article out to Rutherford Institute was not to, you know, scare people or, you know, promote a conspiracy theory of any kind, but stop and think about the reality of it, of what we've been seeing over the past decade or two. I mean, look what happened in Virginia.
Yeah.
Okay, if they'd had their way, if enough people hadn't gone up there and stood up for it, if they'd had their way, they'd be going door to door taking people's weapons away from them right now. You know,
especially the AR-14s.
Yeah,
right. Get those AR-14s. They can have the AR-14s. Yeah. They can have all of those. Leave the rest of them alone.
Well, I'm worried because I have two AR-7s.
Do
so,
you?
Yeah. So that scared me when they said 14s.
I gotcha.
All right. So anyway, I'm gonna go back to this to wrap up this article. Let's see. In typical fashion, the government seems to consider the Constitution only when forced to do so. It complies with the dictates of the Constitution even less frequently. Indeed, the government's efforts to systematically lock down the nation and shift us into martial law have not been stymied one iota by the restraints imposed upon it by the Constitution. When it's not bulldozing its way through the Fourth Amendment, the government just sidesteps it with the help of the courts. Okay, I don't think anybody can deny that. So what should you expect? If the government decides to declare a national state of emergency and institute a nationwide lockdown? Okay, more of the same of what we've been seeing in recent years. After all, like the proverbial boiling frogs, The government has been gradually acclimating us to the specter of a police state for years now. Militarized police, riot squads, camouflage gear, black uniforms, armored vehicles, mass arrests, pepper spray, tear gas, batons, strip searches, surveillance cameras, Kevlar vests, drones, lethal weapons, less than lethal weapons, unleashed with deadly force, rubber bullets, water cannons, stun grenades, arrest of journalists, crowd control, and I go on. We've seen all those things.
But I don't think we're seeing going in that direction with Trump as our president.
It's
just temporary for the virus.
Yeah, what have you seen going on even with him as president? With the FBI and the CIA and the other agencies up there, even with him as president, because he hasn't drained the swamp completely yet, do you still have those people in control of some of these agencies?
Well, that's true.
Okay, and that's the problem. My whole point here is not to promote conspiracy theories. My whole point here is to tell people, wake up. We have seen these things that I just read.
Yes.
We've seen what happened in Virginia. We've seen them bust into houses and doors and haul people off. Okay?
Not okay, but yes.
Some of Trump's people. Okay?
We're the victims, not the perpetrators.
So, and in Virginia, like I said, with what happened up there and is still going on up there, that's very tyrannical, what they're doing. So, all I'm trying to say is, folks, you need to make sure you go out there and put people in power that are going to uphold the Constitution and protect your rights, not the ones that are going to go along with this type of activity that we've seen.
I'm into that.
My point was tying in with yours is that, you know, you think that it can't get to that point, but if the epidemic starts spreading, yes, absolutely, Trump can't control, you know, there's checks and balances. The House, the Senate, he can't fight that if there are widespread cases. And that's what I was saying. If we are responsible for ourselves, control our own environments, and there's no outbreak of this, if we keep it contained, then they can't do any of those types of things. We have to be alert to what is a possibility.
And if mainstream media keeps fanning the flames of the fire and creates a panic situation and people are you talked about the stores are out of toilet paper and the shelves are empty of hand sanitizer and how about food, things like that. When it gets that bad, people are going to start going, hey, we got to knock the windows out and get in there and get something to eat.
Rolling Stone magazine serves as toilet paper too.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It absolutely does. Well, and don't.
Most of the major newspapers too. Yeah.
That too.
And don't wait. Don't let the government tell you how to prepare. You are responsible for your own life. Be aware of what's going on out there. And the point I'm trying to drive is that there are other epidemics going on around you right now that are very contagious. So if you just...
That are more serious.
If you are clean and wash your hands and just be proactive and be smart and share that information with other people to be smart, then, you know, they'll follow your example. We're not going to have an epidemic on our hands.
Right. It's just like with the gun control situation. You have a mass shooting, and the mainstream media just jumps on it with all four feet and just keeps pounding away, pounding away, pounding away. We got to get rid of guns. We got to get rid of guns. When more people are being killed by automobiles, drunk drivers, other methods that have nothing to do with malice. It's just, you know, things that happen in life. I've read statistics on construction workers being killed by tools that they use. Sometimes there's more of that than there is people being killed by guns.
Mm-hmm. You know, Rick, it is a serious problem. However, don't be lemmings and run off the edge of the cliff because of this.
Could we be limes?
So to your point, the government never did this during the AIDS epidemic.
Right.
They didn't put this kind of quarantining and that kind of stuff. And of course, they said, well, that's because the government, that was against the homophobic era and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But they did not impose
that. That's a very good point. Right? Mm-hmm. That's
and,
right.
And then to your point, you were talking about what the government can do in overreach or what the courts can do. We had a little thing called the Japanese internment.
Yes.
Right. And that case was upheld by the Supreme Court. But those address two different ordinances to round them up and keep them isolated. Those two laws were not found unconstitutional. So this and that decision to round up if they pose a national security threat is still good. It's horrible to think that we can do this again, but the precedent is set. We can do that again. And the courts, as far as the courts, we have a little decision called the Dred Scott ruling, which is horrible, one of the, probably the worst one we've ever had. But part of it was that, you know, African Americans are not citizens, hence they have no protection. But so the part of the African Americans not being citizens, that was nullified by the 14th Amendment. So we've overdone that. But the part of the decision that says if you're not a citizen, you're not protected by the Constitution or laws, that's still kind of good law. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't just nullify the entire decision.
But to my point, the members of Congress don't seem to understand that.
Right, but what I'm saying,
they think
that
the non-citizens have all the same rights that we have.
Exactly, but we have. I don't know if they've come from these disasters or these emergencies, but I guess the Japanese internment was from an emergency. But there are things that are horrible that result from these things. They're horrible to us. They're offensive. But they're still good. They're still good law.
All right. And we talked about the mainstream media. We also need to mention the fact that there are entities out there, the billionaires like George Soros and all, that have a record of overthrowing countries by doing things like this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's not out of the picture.
Yeah. I want to point out that and sometimes it's really necessary for the police and other law enforcement people to be reinforced by military-type personnel. I've been called out twice during National Guard duty. One was when there was riots in downtown Washington, D.C. My unit was moved up to Fort Belvoir, and we operated out of Fort Belvoir to stop riots. The same thing happened down at Virginia Beach one time. My battalion, at that time I was a battalion commander, our battalion was called down there, and so were some other large units to reinforce the state police because people were throwing rocks off of buildings at the police officers. They were trying to, you know, injure them bodily, the crowds were. And so you needed to use the military forces to reinforce the state police. Now, we were there basically in support of police. We didn't become policemen. But at the same time, we were using pretty deadly force to put the riots down.
Right. And folks, let's be honest. You've got a high percentage of the young folk now that think a socialist form of government is the way to go. And how do socialists control people that don't agree with them in their countries? So, you know, there's plenty of examples to look to out there when you want to look at communism and socialism. And if you love your freedom, you might want to take a look at that and change your mind. Let's take another break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back and wrap this show up.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Folks, I hope you didn't figure that we were a bunch of crazies. If you're still with us, hopefully you understand what we were talking about. But real quick, I want to bring us back to reality. Michael Speciale, Representative Michael Speciale's granddaughter, working with the volunteer fire department, isn't it?
She was Pamlico, I think, Grantsboro.
Anyway, they were answering a call to a fire, and she was struck by a vehicle, and she has been in an induced coma, and we just got news today that they're bringing her out of that, so it looks like good signs of improvement.
Stabilized, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so thank you for all your prayers in that situation. Prayers do work, and we're thankful for the results. Now, I'm real quick in the last couple of minutes. I want to talk to you about something going on here in Craven County, and that's the Craven County School Board held a special meeting on Tuesday, and it's about our schools here in Craven County, and it's a long-range plan to try to do something about it. Let me give you some context. There's 23 Craven County school facilities that range in age from 69 years old, which is J.T. Barber school here, and to 13 years old, which is Creekside. And they go all the way through there, a lot of old schools. The long-range facilities needs assessment was done, and they were reporting on that. I'm not going to go through all of it. I'm just going to consolidate it down and give you the gist of it. Some of the things they're talking about is moving some of the schools, consolidating some of the schools, building new schools, upgrading and updating some of the existing schools. Bottom line is it's got a price tag, and this is just the urgent needs that they put together, this list of urgent needs, which means it's not a complete do over for everything. $309,692,179.
What?
You can expect they're going to take this to the county commissioners and try to get a school bond going to cover the cost of that. But it's like Bangert School. Bangert School needs to be expanded. The problem with that is the flood zone comes right up to the back door, the parking lot. The flood zone borders along the line of the parking lot, so there's no adjacent property that they can expand out on. Some people are suggesting maybe go up, do a second story. Well, the problem there is it wasn't originally designed to carry another level, and, you know, the ground has to be able to support the weight also. Security cameras at every school. Replacing the carpet, and I'm wondering why. Why would you put carpet down?
Yeah.
The health problems associated with carpet, it's unhealthy, number one. Number two, the cleaning cost. What does it cost you to have them come in and clean that carpet? Or do you ever have it cleaned? You know, there again, it's a health issue. Consolidating schools like Grover Seafields and H.J. McDonald, bringing them together. They even talked about possibility of having schools with 800 students. Wow. Are you talking? That just doesn't seem like a good idea to me. The furniture and the toilets, you wouldn't believe the hundreds of thousands of dollars to replace toilets. And one thing I didn't understand is the difference between the students' toilets and the teachers' toilets. I've got to look into that. Why do teachers have special toilets? Why do they cost more? I can understand the kids' toilets that are lower to the ground, stuff like
and for
that.
Grade school.
Yeah, but we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars just on toilets. So, I didn't mean to startle you.
Sorry about the hiccup.
And I think I mentioned the security cameras, which I agree with that. We need the security cameras, but we need it done. All these things. I'm not against modernizing and replacing the schools that are way out. That's something that needs to be done. What I am against is when you look at this, is anybody really put any thought into it? For instance, if we're going to do this, are they looking at, well, we're going to go do this school and then we're going to go do that and that and that. How about, for instance, the furniture and the toilets thing? Is anybody going to the manufacturer and saying, hey, we're going to do 10 or 12 schools. We're going to need this many number of toilets. What can you provide us at what cost? You know, is anybody thinking about going straight to the manufacturer, cutting out all the middlemen, you know, things like that. Same thing with the furniture. It's just, I'm not sure that the right amount of thought has been put into it at this stage. And I think it's too early to go to the commissioners and try to get any kind of school bond on it. And the transparency and openness with the public, what input have the parents had into it? Now, they did hold some meetings for public input. I don't have that in front of me right now. But did they hold the meetings the same way they do the school board meetings in the middle of the day when the parents are at work and can't attend them? Oh, you know,
let alone taxpayers. You said 309 million plus.
Right.
And the school population is decreasing?
Yeah. Well, they got into some of those details too. Anyway, the thing is, folks, you need to be aware of what's going on here in Craven County. Attend your commissioner's meetings, attend your school board meetings, follow it on Facebook and other sources to stay up to date and make sure your voice is heard and you have some input into what's going on in your child's school. That's all the time we have for today's show. Thank you for listening to CCTA Wake Up Call. Please come back and join us again next week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, also the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake-Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.